Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today is the one and only, a man who I don't believe would ever get secretly married at on my engagement party, but maybe he would and I would support it. It's Ronnie Karam. How are you, Ronnie?
Hi.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, babe. How are you?
Doing great. We're talking Vanderpump Rules today. Very exciting. We had initially said that today we're going to come out with the Crappies nominations, but we still have some like finishing touches. So we're just pushing it to Friday. So Friday will be when we do the big reveal for Crappies nominations. It's going to be really, really, it's good this year. This is going to be a good one. And of course, you can come see us at the Crappies in New York City on January 27th. That's going to be our biggest show of all time. Really excited because it's not only just the Crappies. It's our 10-year anniversary show. It'll be our 10-year birthday. I think we celebrate our this old podcast is turning 10, I think, on January 26th. Don't quote me on that. I think January 26th, 2012 was our very first episode of Crappens, which is crazy, Ronnie. We haven't even really... we keep saying, oh, it's our 10-year anniversary, but I don't think we've actually sort of stopped and been like, wow, it's been 10 years, right?
Yeah, I'm not really mushy like that. I'm just like, yeah, it's 10 years. You know, I'm more of a cynical person. I'm like, does that mean it's over? Because things go in like 10-year cycles. So are all the housewives going to get canceled? Is the world going to end? What's going to happen? This is definitely the longest I've ever kept a job. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, look, we outlasted Real Housewives of Dallas. Although we also started before them, so that's not like that's inherent. And then we also outlasted, I would have said Miami, but Vicky. Miami's back.
I mean, Vicky. We outlasted Vicky, okay? Like, come on, that's something. That's I'm going to get you a cake that just has a big picture of Vicky.
maybe we'll think about all the things that we outlasted and talk about it on the Crappies. Just brag about the things that outlasted. Well, look.
Don't you feel like Father Time of Bravo? It's like, oh, remember the family van. Although we didn't have a podcast back then. But
how about this? Our podcast has spanned 3 presidents.
Wow. That is crazy. God, how the world has changed. The world has changed.
You're getting in over your head. Over your head. Over your head.
We've been doing this long enough where we've seen Heather Dubrow go and Heather Dubrow come back. And many other things.
We have seen so many faces on just like a couple of people during this 10 years. We have seen so many facial changes. We have seen such an evolution in plastic surgery over the past 10 years. And fillers. I mean, fillers were invented. A lot of shit has happened, guys.
Everything has happened and everything has changed.
So, people moved from square boobs to round boob implants.
To square hair with Whitney.
To square hair with Whitney. I like that someone was like, oh, no, that's a Utah thing. Yes, thank you. It's nice to know that. So go buy live ticket. I mean, go buy shows. Go buy tickets for the Crappies and also all our other live shows. Jersey sold out the next night, and then Boston has some tickets left that same weekend. But we're going all over the place, including Los Angeles coming up in February. Get to come back to LA for a while. And
everywhere.
Tons of other places. We should actually read a list at some point because people probably don't know. But go to watchwithcrappens.com and check it out.
We'll do a list refresh maybe when we announce when we talk about the Crappies for Friday, when they come out on Friday, you know?
Sounds good. We'll figure that out.
Yeah. 10 years and we're still pausing for each other.
Yeah. We're still making an effort to not overtalk each other. Although it's never going to happen. So let's get into Pump Rule. So we did skip last week's episode because guess what? We wanted to. Yeah, we were on vacation and I'm not coming back for no Vanderpump Rules. Well, guess what? It turned out to be a fucking hilarious episode. I don't know if I was just cut off from the Bravo, you know, juice for a while. So when I watched it, I mean, I died laughing. I thought it was so funny. I think it's kind of getting back. It's showing glimmers of roots, you know.
Yeah.
There's Whitney again, going back to SL City, Salt Lake City recap again. But it's showing a glimmer of its roots here. You know, you've got Brox and Sheena trying to get free shit off of people.
Yeah.
You've got Lala's, you know, Lala's crazy life. James trying to control Raquel's bachelorette party, which turned into a whole episode fighting about penis straws.
Yes, I forgot about that. I feel like it was like 3 weeks ago since last week. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm enjoying this season. I think now that I think about it, I think the reason why it's a little tough is because everything else on Bravo has been kind of just been like, as they say, fire. But it has been like everything has been so good. And so when you have something that's like pretty good, like it's okay. I think it feels shitty in comparison when you have Salt Lake City doing amazing things and you have like Miami and you have Girls Trip and Orange County is good. I mean, Orange County is great right now. So like when everything is kind of great and then you have Vanderpump Rules just being okay, it sort of makes it feel like it's actually worse than it is. But, you know, I still find myself actually getting invested and getting emotionally, I still find myself getting angry, which I think is like, as long as Vanderpump Rules can make you angry, it's really doing its job.
Yes, agreed. So the biggest thing that happened, at least to me, was this fucker Brock. Okay, called that one. You know, you can spot a mooch and a loser from miles away, and especially this one, because he's built like a block. Okay, but this fucking guy trying to sneak a free wedding out of Lala and Rand. Okay, so he's like, listen, I've got a great idea. I'm going to get engaged to Shane. I'm going to ask her to marry me, and then I'm going to have a surprise wedding. And so what I want to do, Rand, is I want it to be a big Randall Emmett movie premiere. The only people that can be on the poster are really old men who look like they're about to shit themselves. Everyone will come. It'll be amazing. And then he just leaves. So Rand is all excited to get this attention because he lives for this shit.
Yeah.
And then it comes time to pay bills and Brock won't return anybody's texts because he figured if he was going to make it all about Rand, Rand would do it.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny because you have had Brock's number all year, like all season you have. And I've been actually slightly more of an apologist. Like he doesn't really get under my skin the way he seems to get under your skin. But I actually feel like today's episode was the one where I was like, okay, sir, you've now crossed the line for me. Because he has been like mooching. And, you know, I sort of felt like, yeah, with the whole thing with the app where he asked James to make an appearance, you know, and James is like, yeah, I was asking. And, you know, like, I know you were a little bit more on James's side. I was a little bit more on Brock's side. But today's episode was the day when I was like, sir, you are like, like a Willie Loman type, not Willie Loman, but like, I was like, you're a scammer, basically. Today,
you're a user piece of shit, is what you are. You're a moochie using piece of shit, and you need to cut that shit out and stop saying I'm paying my child support. Like someone's gonna show up and ring your bell to make you sign for a fucking award for paying your child support this many years later. Okay.
Yeah.
And Sheena is also a mooch and a user. Look how Sheena is direct. You know Sheena's directing him to do all of this shit because we find out today that Sheena's known the whole time that she's going to have a surprise engagement. Yeah. So who do you think is coming up with these ideas? It's Sheena too.
But I don't think that, like, I'm not mad at Sheena because, like, that's, we know that about Sheena. Like, that's Sheena, right? So that's just Sheena being Sheena. She's, like, living up to her thing. But with Brock, there's almost this idea that, well, Sheena's telling us that he's like, oh my God, Brock, he's like so wonderful and he cares about everyone. But like, we're realizing that he's kind of ultimately kind of like terrible with money. And then just always asking for money. That, like, that's what we're seeing here.
Yeah.
And you know, like people are allowed to be terrible with money. Like that's part of life sometimes is learning how to be all right.
Well, it's not that he's terrible with it. It's that he's getting it from everybody else for his, it's like this guy comes into town, gets some lady on a TV show pregnant. okay? And then does his best to mooch off of her contacts to build his own little empire. I mean, period. That's it. That's all I see. And that's all I will see. Now, he's hot as hell, okay? And especially in real, I mean, and I saw him in real life, and I was like, love you. Even love your white jeans. I even approve of your white jeans. In this circumstance, I approve. And he seems like a fun, good person, but he also seems like a scammer.
Yeah. Yeah, you could be both. Like, he actually seems really nice, although there is that whole domestic abuse thing. But then he does generally seem like...
Oh, God, that's right. How did that even slip? Well, and you're a fucking domestic violence but, asshole, too. Tag that on.
As far as we can tell, it looks like he is someone who has at least... I can't say it because we're here. I'm calling him a scammer. And then I'm like, well, he looks like he might have done some of the work. But, like, that's the scammer thing to do is to make you think that they've done the work. But,
well, he's a scammer with goals. You know what I mean? Scammers may be too hard because those are like the people who call you on the phone. Like, he's at least leaving the house to do it. But he's, you know, he's got goals to build a business and all of this. And I commend him for that, you know.
I think when I say scammer, I mean more of like the lighthearted version of it. I might be using it incorrectly because I feel like people say things like scammer now where it's like, I'm not saying he is like Dirty John and a con artist, but he's someone who is like, oh, you're saying that you want one thing, but you just want me to pay for it all. Like, oh, I see what... I probably am not using the slang correctly.
He's manipulating a way to get shit for himself from richer people than him. And you know what? Poor people get married too. My parents did it. They were very poor. Well, they got married in the back of like a fucking rec center or something. I mean, poor people get married too. And I know Sheena might want something bigger, but she's not fucking something bigger. She's fucking you. Okay, so she gets what she gets.
Well, I probably am gonna weigh in on this a little bit more when we get to this part of the episode. So I'm just gonna put a pin on it in terms of that. But I will say that I think Ariana posted something on Twitter last night. I sort of saw some tweets where she said that there was an issue. I guess like they were gonna do maybe the movie premiere thing or something was going to happen, but then COVID hit and like all these events, I think it was around when Delta was hitting. You know what? I'm not even going to bother trying to cite this tweet that I don't have in front of me. And I'm just giving its own information. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do misinformation, but I will say that Ariana was alluding to the fact that that COVID impacted venues and that impacted Brock's plan. So I don't know if that
COVID made venues $20,000 that he didn't have.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's very frustrating to hear him say how he has, like you said, he has to pay this child support or whatever. But like, if you have child support, if you've got these payments, why are you investing in the very risky business prospect of a startup app in a very crowded marketplace where you don't have any background in this? Like, yes, you work in fitness, but do you have a background in launching an app and an app with a name that has already been used? We looked it up in a previous episode, like used many, many times. So like, why are you don't have clearly any majorly proven business acumen? So why are you squandering all that money and then asking for more money for a wedding and then spending even more on a wedding ring? Now, it's not for us to count other people's money.
Through Kyle Chan, the free wedding giver, the free wedding ring giver of Vanderpump Rules. See, he even uses their contacts to mooch a wedding ring, you know? Yeah.
Well, but he didn't, it looked like it wasn't that free. It was $25,000.
Yeah.
But the point is this.
Heavily discounted.
Not, everyone's allowed to spend the money the way they want to spend their money. But I feel like when you're on reality TV, we are allowed to weigh in a little bit because that's just what we audience members do. And I also feel like if you can spend the money however you want to spend the money, but then the moment that you start saying like, oh my God, I don't have the money for this or that, that's the time when it's like, well, now that you're like complaining to me, I'm going to have to say, like, maybe you shouldn't have spent that money on X, Y, and Z.
Right. But for me, it's not about that because it's not money management. I think that he was never planning on spending that money. You know what I mean? I don't think he was ever thinking, like, I'm going to have a $20,000 or $30,000, whatever, engagement party where I'm going to get married to Sheena. He was thinking, how am I going to get this shit for free? And then the minute he finds out it's not for free, it's like, okay, well, forget that. Let's move on to the next way we can get it for free, which is crashing someone else's engagement party out of a destination.
My
head almost fucking popped off in this episode.
I know. Now, I will say, here comes a nice semi-reversal. If you do have child support payments. And if you have, like, if you are investing in a startup, no matter how boneheaded the idea is, you know, I can imagine trying to get some free shit. Like, heck, I would do the exact same thing. I'd be like, can I get some free shit? But like,
well, they're Bravo stars. So their way of getting free shit is calling vendors and saying, I'm on Bravo. If we give your event, you know, space publicity, can I get it for a discounted rate? I mean, we've seen Bravo people working it for years and years to get free shit. You know, they're masters at it. So if he's going to at least put in the work of trying to become like a Bravo person, that's the way you get free shit. You don't crash other people's things and then go to your actual friends asking for free shit. You get it through business, you know?
Well, that whole thing. Okay, fine. I was going to wait till that part of the episode, but fine. I can no longer contain myself. That's where I lost it, okay? Like, now, is it obnoxious that James and Raquel are having another engagement party when they already had Raquella? Yes, it is totally. So the entire thing that they're doing is already obnoxious. But the fact that Brock wants to have a secret wedding at someone else's engagement party is so tacky and so awful. And is so, and I mean, he even admits it later on that he's basically doing it because it's a pretty setting. It's like, sir, you know what you can do? You can also drive out to fucking Malibu because you live in Los Angeles. And one of the privileges of living in Los Angeles is you can drive to the beach. Drive to the beach, stand out there on the beach and have a wedding right there. It's literally so beautiful that like people, you know, have weddings there all the time. Like,
well, that was, remember, Neptune's Net. Jax's engagement spot was Neptune's Net out there. So yeah, drive out there, get some fried fish, and pop the question. That's like, it. Literally, that's all I want to hear from you, okay?
You don't have to go to some like sandstone castle in the middle of Saint Inez to pop the question. But he wants it to be on camera. And I guess maybe the crew wasn't willing to go to Malibu.
Listen, pull a page from the city I grew up in, El Paso. Love you, El Paso. Get married in a public park. We pay our taxes for that shit, okay? Sheena can stand on the top of the slide. You can get on one knee at the bottom and propose. She slides down, tries not to kick you in the face. We take some pictures. We go home, you know? I don't need all of this.
Yeah, I think that the whole thing that makes me feel so strange about this is that's one thing if they were going to have like 100 people, but just 4 people. So it's a deeply portable wedding. Like, it can really be done in so many different places. And where they live, there are so... Like, go to the top of Runyon Canyon. Go to Griffith Park Observatory. Go to Malibu. Go to Santa Monica. Go to Santa Monica Pier. Go to Long Beach. Go to Marshall's.
Okay,
now
you're going crazy. Go to Long Beach. Stand on the vessel.
Go to the Queen Mary. Go to the Aquarium of the Pacific. Like, there's, like, go to the Hollywood.
Just
the Hollywood
be creative.
Sign. Pasadena.
You know, say, I want to be with you forever, and I'm going to do, you know, the whole La La Land and just take you to all the locations from La La Land. You know, something. Just something free, okay? Stop mooching. You fucking mooch.
This is a city that is built on free experiences because there's so many people in the city who are like aspiring actors and writers and directors and this and singers and dancers. So like they always say LA is a good city to be poor in because like there's a lot of people who are aspiring to be things. So that means there's a lot of people who are not only aspiring, but also getting married and trying to have like, you know, fun things. They're always doing strange weddings in all different corners of the city. So like, just do that.
Yeah, no, he basically planned on getting some free shit, and it backfired in his face, and now he looks like a total jackass.
No,
so then the other thing that happened...
It's not only just free shit. What he really wants to do is he wants to get married at this mansion that they're going to. There's going to be photos, and then he can send photos to people and say, look at this place where we got married, as if he had rented out the mansion.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Sheena's, of course, going to post this all over Instagram, and all of her friends are going to post it all over Instagram, making it look like they paid for this venue, you know, this beautiful castle or wherever they're going. I mean, it's just, and Sheena's being terrible in the, so we'll get to that. So the other thing that happened last week was Raquel was talking to Kate, her sister, who, by the way, love how much Kate hates James with you, girl. Him. Like, he is just a total red. He's like red flag personified. So they're talking about James and the bachelorette party that they're going to plan. And James is like, just don't do something trashy. You know, I don't want something with, you know, girls and fails and getting drunk and then, you know, cocks everywhere. And then Kate said, but penis straws are a thing, like, yeah, it's for fun, don't worry about it. He's like, no, I won't have it, I don't like it, it's trashy. So then it becomes, okay, this guy's controlling you, which he totally is.
Yeah.
I mean, he totally is. So then the whole episode, it somehow gets boiled down to cock straws, I think from Lala, because Lala's just stirring the shit as much as possible. So Lala sees a couple different people. She sees Sandoval while he's getting ready for her Give Them Lala party and putting on makeup, bro. Sis makeup, yeah! So he's doing that, and she's, of course, like, well, James is being really controlling with Lala, and I'm super worried about it. And then she tells Brock, when Brock comes to get, you know, try and make his pitch for free shit from her and Rand. And so then Brock is like, well, I'll have a talk with him man to man. So he pulls him aside at the Give Them Lala party and is like, bro, all right, we've got to talk about this controlling thing, bro. It's plain as straws, bro. And James loses it, as usual, and starts yelling at Brock and has this big fight and then pulls Lala aside to say, like, why the fuck are you talking about me more? Like, now you're telling everyone I'm controlling. And she's like, you know what, Juju? The reason I do that is because, like, I love you. And that's where it comes from. I love you.
Jameson.
Yeah, it was one of those things. And they actually, like, squash it, like, relatively maturely compared to the past. But it was funny because they had a conversation at the top of the episode, and then Lala just went and just told everyone about James and the penis straws. And I think my favorite thing that came out of that was that James and Raquel have a conversation, and he's like, do you think I'm controlling? I thought that, like, that was one of the things that you liked about me, is that I, like, make decisions. She goes, that's the thing I like the least about you. But I love that he thought that was an asset, him being controlling.
Yeah. So that was pretty much that episode. But man, it had me angry. It had me laughing. I mean, all my favorite things to do with Vanderpump Rules.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So that brings us to today's episode, which, of course, by the way, we should also mention the other thing that came out of last week's episode is that Katie and Ariana decide they're going to open up a sandwich shop together, which is something that is a storyline that continues this episode. But first, we start over at Lala's house, and Katie comes over, and Lala's got, like, the machine on her boobs, like she's milking or pumping. I always say that. It's so disrespectful. I'm sorry, everyone. Lala's like, yeah, this thing can suck your tits off. And they just start talking.
Katie's like, yeah, I don't even think about that. Like, Tom's been using that machine on himself for years. Like, he's used it so much, he's actually starting to make milk, which is kind of amazing. Nature's amazing, right? And Lala's like, yeah, it feels good. You know, like, they always say, if you're planning on breastfeeding, like, twist your nipples a bit. But I did a lot of nipple play before my pregnancy, so I'm good.
Yeah, she's like, pre-ocean sex was, like, a couple times a week. Like, blowies were happening really often. But, like, becoming a mom, because I'm a mom and that's what I am, because I have a baby and my baby's here because I'm a mom. You don't want that in your mouth anymore. Let me tell you. I'm like, Do people really want Rand's junk in their mouth really when they're not a mom? I just don't understand.
Well, it's like winning Monopoly, and then someone's like, all right, well, now what should I buy? Monopoly's over, sir. Okay, I won the game. Lala's basically sitting on a pile of fake money, you know, in different colors. Like, I don't have to give blowies anymore. Like, I got to the top of the mountain. I got to the top of Blowy Mountain, and I'm done.
Gives a new meaning to community chests. So Lala's now decided to start up her feud with Ariana again. She's like, yeah, Ariana didn't say one word to me at the Give Them Lala event, which I didn't even pick up on. So I'm like, okay, so this feud is back. I kind of wish this feud had been raging all season long. It's kind of bothering me that they're not, like, the promise of that first episode where Ariana was over Lala. I was so excited for that being a thing that we could just rally behind. So Lala's like, yeah, not even a hi. Like, I don't know why I'm shocked. She doesn't even acknowledge anything in my world at all. I'm like, you know what, Lala? Ariana was the one who basically kept Lala in the group. And then Lala then went and turned and then joined the Mean Girls and became so obnoxious and so insufferable. And then she wonders why Ariana doesn't want to have really anything to do with her anymore.
Yeah, that's very Lala. To be like, what? Why is everybody being so mean to me? And she just goes around trying to ruin everybody.
Yeah.
So Katie's like, you know what? I really don't want to be in, like, a Lala and Adriana and Ariana sandwich. Wait, sandwich. It's going on the menu. This is going on. It's our Nancy Meyers sandwich shop. I cannot wait. It's going to be just like a Nancy Meyers movie. To that I say, you have a baby in a bar.
Oh, is that from, which one is that from?
That's a Reese Witherspoon. Well, that's from Sweet Home Alabama, but Nancy Myers, I'm looking at a list of Nancy Myers movies, and apparently she did Home Again, which Home was, Again. I think, a sequel to Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, is it really? Oh, I know she did. Obviously, It's Complicated, and that one with, like, Something's Gotta Give. Oh, I mean, I feel like a lot of her movies are just, like, cutesy phrases, like, that's the way the cookie
Father
crumbles.
Father of the Bride.
Well, Father of the Bride was the
best
one.
Cookie. Best cookie crumbles. Baby Boom.
Baby Boom. Yeah, she loves a Diane Keaton vehicle.
Yes. God, I loved me some Baby Boom back in the day.
So anyway, they're going to open up the shop. And Katie is like, yeah, I mean, I got into business with my best friends before. And then we see a flashback of her and Stassi and Kristen cheersing to the Witches of WeHo wine and then just sitting there discontent with each other. I was like, I did get like quite a large like nostalgic twinge for that moment and for the Witches of WeHo.
So let's see. I'm sorry, I got a little distracted because I put those under eye things on, you know, that they use on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills all the time. And so I put some on and I was like, I wonder how they're doing. So I got out my phone to look at myself. They've slipped all the way down to my cheek and I still have baggy eyes. I still have big cheeks. Okay. Well, these didn't work for me. So there, I think I'm doing it wrong.
That's okay.
Okay. Sorry, everybody. So the point is, Katie's like, you know, when things go down south, the business goes down south. And Lala's like, I'm not going down south on anybody. I'm a mother now.
So basically, Katie says that she and Ariana are going to be going to Lisa's place to get some tips. Because Katie's like, yeah, I didn't exactly go to business school, which is funny because she certainly acted that way when it came to Schwartz and Sandy's. And she goes, although to be fair, a lot of the things that she was saying were completely correct. So she goes, remember when we were in Palm Springs and Rand was making his final pitch to invest? And I was like, it's okay, Randall. When I have a business, you can invest in it. Well, we're officially going to set up a meeting to talk to him. At which point I thought Lala was going to be like, absolutely not, because I will not be the next ex-wife. Because you know that anytime a lady meets with Randall, she's probably like, is this it? Is this the end of my marriage?
You know, he's always wanted to have a place where he can just come into, act like he owns it, run up tabs he never pays for, and do coke freely on the tables during business hours with Bruce Willis. So we set up a meeting with Rand. Okay, so let the line of mooches begin, okay? Just a bunch of, like, almost washed up people looking for damn money.
Well, but this makes sense if they're trying to start up a shop. Like, that makes, like, I feel like asking for, if you're basically just sitting home doing adult coloring books and you're like, I want to start a sandwich shop. Like, you're like, okay, I'm going to have to ask for money on this one because my coloring books have brought me no revenue. Like, as opposed to, I want to have an over the top engagement party for TV. You know?
Yeah, that's true. I just don't ever forget that Katie was hideous to Lala and called her a whore multiple times before Lala got the PJ. So now, of course, here's Katie asking for a handout from the woman she accused of using, which she wasn't, you know, you accused of using this man for his money. So now Katie's like, well, I'll use his money too then.
Yeah, no lies detected.
How about that?
Lala goes, listen, all you have to do is you just have to offer a sandwich named after him. That's all he wants. I'm like, I'm sure he wants that. I mean, I want that. I want a Ben and Ronnie sandwich. Like, it would be, I don't know what the Ben and Ronnie sandwich really would be. Probably is a bad path to go down. But like, I think that Rand is going to ask for a lot more. I feel like getting in business with Rand is a dangerous, dangerous thing.
It is, because I really do think that Rand would be the type that just walks in every day, brings 10 people in, and is like, all right, I'm getting lunch, everybody, and then just leaves without paying because he's part owner of this restaurant.
Yeah, he's like mafia. Like, he will do that.
Yes.
He really will. He will 100% do that, and then he'll start making demands, and he'll, like, next thing you know, there's going to be, like, one of those, what's that golf video game thing in the corner, and there'll be some annoying hockey jersey hanging over what's supposed to be a feminine sandwich shop, you know?
Yeah, this is not a good idea. So let's see. Then we get to Schwartz at home. Just, wow. I mean,
I can't.
This is like a People of Walmart picture.
Not as classy, though. So it's Schwartz in like a bucket hat and some sort of long t-shirt. And he's just, he looks sad. And I almost feel like he looks sad, but what's even sadder, I think why he looks so sad is that you feel like he put this on for TV to show how sad he looks. And the fact that he thought that on some level this was going to be entertaining to us is what makes it saddest of all.
I mean, it may be sad for you, but I'm the one watching it. So I think I'm the sadder one in this equation. But he always looks sad, by the way. Yeah. Like, he looks sad. That's Schwartz. He does. He like has a bit of pain. You know, he has like ghost pain with his gray skin. He's like, I lived in this house once. Many years ago.
He's like a ghost that never... He's just already like inhabiting a ghost persona without having actually died. He's just going up to people and like caressing them while they do pottery and like, excuse me. He's like, oh, sorry, forgot I was alive.
Forever, slowly, I longer for... Oh, God, get off my pottery wheel.
Sir, sorry, why are Demi you pushing Moore? A penny up my door? Oh, you can see me?
He's just walking past Dorinda with a red balloon. Like, da, 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 da,
da, da, da. Hey, you, get out of my house.
He's just under Haley Joel Osment's bed throwing up.
Excuse me, sir? I see dead people. I see dead people. You do? Darn.
I see alive people. I wish I could think of other famous ghosts, but I think I'm done. So I can't. I can only think of cartoons now.
Mm. So let's see. So James comes over with some DJ stuff, because that's what I do. DJ, you know, I can't drink, can't be at parties all day. So you know what I do instead? I work on it, bro. You want to be a DJ? I'll show you how to DJ, bro. Give me a water bottle. All right, here you go. What you think?
every time they showed James, he had a water bottle that he was squeezing the life out of, and just manic as fuck, this guy.
Yeah, so you must have been, is that something that you picked up on audit like already? Because then you must have been felt very validated by the end of the episode.
I was cracking up that they said something, that Ariana said something. Yeah, because in that scene with Kate, later on in the episode, he has a water bottle that he's like, ooh, like the guy is about to freak out. And, you know, that's, I wonder what weed is code for. You know, if pasta is code for Coke, what is weed code for? Because it ain't weed, in my experience. I mean, that shit's crazy how he's acting.
Yeah, he's steroids, maybe? I don't know. So Schwartz is like, oh, thanks for coming over. The reason I called you over is because, A, I love you, and I've been vibing with you. And, like, you know, like, usually I'd be with Schwartz, I mean, Sandoval, but we're on a break, so you're the next best thing. Well, actually, you're the second next best thing, because I'm actually still friends with Jax, even though he's not on the show. So you're the next best. Well, actually, you know what I also like? Hot Pockets. So you're the next best thing.
Wait a minute. I like Bagel Bites too. You know what? They can tie with Hot Pockets. Okay, you're still the next.
So he wants to soak up some of James's confidence, which is hilarious because James is one of the most insecure people on this show. But he wants to, I think he's more like saying he wants to soak up James's cockiness, which is different. And he's like, so the way he's going to do it, I guess, is through DJing. And he tells us that ever since we opened up Tom Tom, I knew in the back of my mind, I want a DJ. It's been my dream to play music in one of my own bars. I'm about to have two bars. I'm like, no, Tom Schwartz. First of all, no one wants to hear you on the ones and twos DJing Fish. Okay. Like, no one wants to hear that, because that's what it's going to be. Fish and Grateful Dead.
Yeah, nobody needs another James Kennedy. Okay. When he says I want to get your confidence, I think he means that kind of confidence where you're just willing to look like a total ass, you know, and just be fine with it.
Yeah.
Like, What guy rapping here? I rhymed car with far.
What Kanye? So then he's like, okay, all right. So question. What if you're playing music and the crowd's not feeling it? Are you versatile enough to pivot? He's like, oh, well, you know, oh, that would really, you know, when that would happen, that would really, like, ruin my night. And the way I'd deal with it would be abuse. But, like when you, people, but now, like, when people are doing it, I have, like, a clear vision. So it's like, it's not me, it's them. I'm like, well, actually, it's probably you. You're probably playing shitty music. And, like, listen, I, like, look, he is for sure, like, obviously, like, an alcoholic. And he, but, like, he can't blame every single thing. Like his alcoholism on everything. People not dancing to his music. Is that crazy?
Well, that's what I was thinking today, looking at just kind of watching James and seeing him blow up again in the water bottle and obviously cracked out on whatever he's taking. And I was thinking, you know, people really luck out with blaming alcoholism and addiction for every little thing in your life when it's really not the reason for everything, you know? Like, you still, people who have shitty personalities and are sober still become alcoholics and then sober up again and still have shitty personalities.
Yeah. If you're taking it as a personal offense that people are not dancing at for whatever it was, like Pump Teeny Volume 6, you know, like that's like a you issue. Like, they just don't like the music. It's not that they don't like you.
Or Pump Teeny 6.
Whatever. We had like that volume of like the tracks or what was that? Ain't nobody feeling like I'm feeling you, like I'm feeling you, like I'm feeling you.
Their best song. Their best song, by the way. Yeah, good song. So Schwartz is like, hey, you know, this is what I'm going to do. Like, if they're not vibing, I'm going to go, hey, guys, how are we doing tonight? Hey, what can I play for you? Oh, yeah, sorry, I don't have that song. But next time you come, I will. This is my house, biatch.
I was like, please end this scene. I'm leaving whatever bar, whatever theoretical bar this is, I'm leaving and never coming back.
And while we're speaking of dreams and people living them, let's go over to Sandoval's personal Planet Fitness in the fucking basement of his house or whatever this is. Wow. This is really just like that Planet Fitness place where they try and make it a club.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want to work out in a club?
Yeah, I don't know if I need blue light when I work out. Actually, it probably would be better for me.
It's well, like, thank God it's pink light and not blue light. Oh my God. Blue light can show a lot of things. It's like black light. you don't need anything showing DNA on Vanderpump Rules.
Definitely not. So Sandoval's like jumping rope and everything. And Brock comes over and he's like, oh yeah, I need to get in here and get into that room. The blue room, eh? Oh, I need this. And that was like the first, well, not the first time, but I was like, wow, is he going to try to just scam this room? He's just going to try to get free membership. He's going to ask for a key to this house.
Wow, look at this. My steps are doing great on these curls. You know what? We should serve a pie on these curls at my wedding, my future wedding today, which is today. All right, everybody, come on down.
Yeah, and he brought a vibrating foam roller. He's like, this is my way of warming up. And I thought, like, it's so funny because I feel like it now so much makes sense because Sheena, in many ways, if we had to, like, say what Vanderpump Rules character is, what piece of gym equipment, Sheena is definitely a foam roller because I could just totally imagine her just being like rolled over and like going over in circles. Like, and then you're like, Sheena, he is literally rolling all over you. No, actually, like his legs are just like really sore. And like actually by rolling over me, it like really helps his calves. So in many ways, I'm providing a valuable service. Like, Sheena, you're being rolled over.
It's even a vibrating roller. You know, my thought was Sheena bought that. First of all, like, you're even warming up with something. You're warming up, which should be free, with something Sheena bought you. I know she did.
Yeah, she definitely bought that. Or she got it at like, I actually would say that she got it as some weird gift at a party. Like some weird party favor.
That's a really big like at a, not, gift not
like,
bag.
Not like at a birthday. Like, you know, like weird.
Can we get a separate room for these gift bags?
Because there's like weird ass shit out there.
A 102-foot long foot roller thing or leg roller thing.
Speaking of scammers, do you remember when the two of us went to a gifting suite once?
Yes, I sure do.
Because basically, there was a period of time when I kept getting emails that would say, you're invited to a gifting suite at the SLS Hotel. And then every time I would respond, they would say, I'm sorry, who are you again? And I'd say, like, oh, I'm Ben from Watch What Crappens. And they'd say, oh, no, unfortunately, you're not. You can't come. And I'd be like, well, why are you inviting me in the first place? So like one time I like really put my foot down. And was like, no, we are coming. So then I got Ronnie and we went. And it was horrific. It was like the worst gifting suite. Right? It
was like, I felt so bad because you're just so, like, that's one of your things, you know? It's like a gifting suite. That was one of your moments.
I thought it would be like
and we get there, and it's like when you go to Disneyland, but you're kind of too old. You know, like the first time you go as like a teenager, maybe, and you walk in and you just notice how dirty it is and like how dingy, you know, you see all the faults in it.
It was so bad. Like there was nothing cool. There's only one thing that was cool, and I still have it to this day. Like I got this big brass Maglite flashlight. That's amazing.
I still have that too.
That flashlight is amazing. But
that is amazing. And it came in like a whole pack. It had like a big gold one, and then it had a medium gold one and a small. I've only kept the big one.
Because, yeah, I don't even remember the other two.
Yeah, it came in like a box, like a fancy box with velvet inside. I mean, it was so nice. And yeah, I've kept that too.
I literally just used all it 2 days years. Ago. But like everything else, though, like I literally dropped a pen under the couch, but and I had to like have a flashlight out. But everything else. This is a true story. But everything else in the gifting,
I know.
Everything else in the gifting suite is like stuff that it's like
I just love you. Dropping a pen under the couch and then bringing out like a 2 foot long golden flashlight.
Well, it's like no, I had no other option. That's like my only flashlight. It's like, excuse me, I have to bring my golden flashlight from the gifting suite.
But, oh, that's funny.
But the point is there was all sorts of weird, useless shit at this low rent gifting suite. And I can imagine a vibrating foam roller being exactly the sort of thing you would find at that place.
Oh, people love those. I got my sister the ball version of that brand. Like they make little vibrating balls because she has a hurt wrist. So she has like a tennis wrist or whatever. So she vibrates herself with a little ball.
Okay. You need to stop while you're ahead because you're just making it sound worse.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Okay, so Tom's like, so how long have you been thinking of this engagement wedding thing, bro? And he's like, well, coming down to this space is 20 grand for the whole venue, and it's just not gonna work.
Of course, completely missing the question, which is, how long have you been thinking of this? Because you wanted to do it within 2 days and didn't even have a space rented. Lame-o.
Yeah, and he's like, well, between homebody and transport and a wedding engagement ring, and I can't afford that right now. It is what it is. And Sandoval's basically like, well, dude, you just don't love her enough. That's all, which was funny.
Yeah.
So, and then Sandoval tells him about like his situation with Schwartz, how they're on a break and everything. And then we go back to Schwartz, and he's telling James that, like, you know, like, now that they've had this break, they we can sort of get back to business. We can refocus. Like, I'd lost my spark, you know, because they were, like, Tom was mad and Kate was mad. They were mad at each other. I'm like, you lost your... When did Tom Schwartz ever have a spark?
That's you did not have a spark. You did not have a spark. You're one of those people that, like, the electricity goes out and you go to check the you go to check the breakers or whatever, and there's no things in them to remove and replace. Okay? You're empty. Okay? You have no fuses in your box, sir.
Pilot light is out, and it's never been on.
The pilot is out on your electric stove that you never plugged in.
Pilot light on the electric stove. So then they look on Instagram, and Tom and Brock have put like a picture up saying like hashtag new besties. Then James and Schwartz do a post also saying like hashtag the next real duo. And then they all are like looking at each other's photos and laughing.
Yeah. The thing, Brock, is I know you've watched every episode of this show, and you know that one of the tenets of this show is that these people were poor. They have been poor most of the show. That's what made it good. They were dirt poor. Even during their first couple of years, they didn't make any money doing... I mean, they made very little money doing this. So look at Katie's wedding. You know, I can't believe I'm citing Katie as a good example of anything. But Katie did her Wednesday wedding, and she did it on a budge with her tea towels and her Cricket. And it was, you know, it was cute. She did a good job. You don't have to be rich to be on Vanderpump Rules, okay?
I'm surprised Katie's not, like, busting out a Cricket to make some shit to sell on Etsy. Like, that feels like it's more of her lane these days.
Yeah. I think that would be a great idea for her, actually.
They will. I mean,
she'd probably be really good at that.
For the shop. So anyway, now we go to Sheena and Brock's apartment where Sheena's holding the baby. We see that there is an "It's all happening" sign in the nursery, and Sheena's holding Summer Moon, and she's with her mom. She goes, "Well, you know what? She slept until 6:15 this morning, and I swear it was that weighted sleep sack." And the mom's like, I think it was B just giving her a bath and that she slept good. No, it was the sleep sack. What do you think? You think it was a sleep sack, Summer Moon? It was a sleep sack. Sleep sack.
The mom's like, thanks, Summer. I'm calling Aunt Dee and canceling your crop top preschool dress, little bitch.
So Lala comes over and she's like, oh my God, I love this building. Poor people are living so high on the hog. New song. New song.
Yeah. And she's, you know, just talking, like babbling away about how, you know, her ass is looking perkier ever since she started electrocuting herself at workouts. And
girl, I've tried it. I bought those little electrocution machines off of the Amazon, and I put them on my stomach and just zap myself. Nothing happens. It doesn't work.
I would like
to try it. Of course, I probably shouldn't do it while I'm like eating.
That's like very Kim Zolciak.
I actually do have pizza grease on one of the little pads stick on you. It's like red. So Sheena passes her off to the free version of Lala's day nurse, her mother, which, by the way, that's how to do shit on a budge. Okay.
Yeah.
You're living with Sheena. How do you not know? Well, I guess, never mind. I'm ruining my own thing because I believe that Sheena's putting Brock up to a lot of this stuff.
Okay. Well, either way, randomly Brock texts and says,
I just argued with myself and I won and lost the argument. So go ahead.
That's Ben. The best part about arguing with yourself. You can always just choose which side you want to land on. So Brock is like, still at the store. Love you, babe. I don't know why we saw that. But then, Lala is just like very concerned about them tying the knot because she's just concerned about all this, everything that we've been talking about. And she's like, yeah, well, you know what? Like, I canceled a live podcast in Huntington Beach this weekend and like got like a really cute dress. And like, he got like a step and repeat. He has a step and repeat and photographers. And he told me to get like my nails done. And my mom made sure to have my eyelashes done. But like, I didn't really know anything about this wedding.
So Sheena totally knew everything about this wedding. So then, basically, to me, that's finding out that Sheena basically had the idea.
Hey, we're on a show. We don't have to spend a lot of money. Like, if we want to get married and we still want to have it on camera, we can just do blah, 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 blah. I mean, Red would love to do something for himself. I mean, it's Red.
So then in my mind, I was like, oh, you two are going to be perfect together. So Lala says, yeah, seems like she kind of knew more of the details, even than Brock, who's supposed to be planning it. I'm a little bit frustrated with him. He's messing with my friends' hearts. So Lala has taken on this bachelor way of speaking where she's putting the K at the end of everything. And I heard it a couple weeks ago, but now I can't unhear it. So I'm just giving you that to see if you notice it for later.
Okay. I'm going to make a note of that. Lala, yeah, she's like, yeah, I'm a little frustrated with him because it's like you're getting my friend's hopes up. Like, Lala, now this is Lala being, she's just bullshitting here because Sheena is not her friend. She has a terrible relationship with Sheena. She only befriends Sheena when it's advantageous for her, so that she can get gossip to bring to the rest of the group, right? But Sheena goes, no, he didn't want to rush it, okay? Like, he didn't want to compromise his vision, and he was like, you deserve the best, and if I can't give you that, then it just has to wait. I love that he doesn't want to compromise his vision.
Yeah. I mean, he just said he'll wait until I befriend someone banging a richer, more established, non-straight-to-Amazon Prime movie starring Al Pacino that he can ask for money from.
So Lala says, I want to give Brock the benefit of the doubt, but he was like thinking that Randall and I would pay for his engagement. And like, he already has two children that he doesn't pay for. And now he doesn't want to pay to get married to Sheena. So, I mean,
she's not right. Not wrong. So, getting your friend's hopes up. Sheena's hopes are always up. That's why it's hilarious. It's like her hopes are always dashed and then always up again. You know, I mean, being in a relationship, nothing says more hope that you have in yourself than being in a relationship with someone like Brock. Like, yeah. Everything is, I hope this works. I hope he finally pays for something. I hope he pays his child support. It's a lot of hope going on here.
Yeah. So Sheena does announce that they are getting a prenup done. She's because she did not get a prenup with Shay, and she says, well, with Shay, when the relationship went to shit, like, to get him to sign the divorce papers, I literally had to split my finances. So as much as I love Brock, this time around I need to protect myself and protect my daughter and put that shit in writing.
She's like, so she goes, okay, well, he gets I get
Yeah. I got a prenup for him because I really don't want to get screwed over again. So I basically told the lawyer, give him everything. All right. If things don't work out, give Brock everything.
It's like, wait, that's not how that works.
Okay. He gets everything plus I'll buy him a new car. I'll buy him a new car too.
And Lala says that she and Rand did one. She goes, I'm all about a plan B. Okay. I'm like, okay, Lala. No, I appreciate this, but I just want you to know that like you're the one that he's protecting himself from you. It's not going the other way around.
You are the plan B.
I know. Like, she's acting as if he's going to be asking for alimony from her. I'm like, you realize what this relationship is, right?
Yeah. What is this? What is this? An outline? Like, plan B also has a plan B? Like,
I love your confidence, and I love that you have this ambition for Give Them Lala Beauty. But just so you know, like, Rand is, although actually I'm not, you know what, maybe I should take that back, because isn't it Tom Girardi, right? Tom Girardi is asking for payments from Erica, right? So you never know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it could happen. Also, it's a community property state, so good luck. So I mean, you can still have prenups, but still good luck. It's California. Go get married somewhere else. Okay, go get married in a state where you can just be like, you don't get shit, bye.
We have a lot of things to say about where people should get married today.
I have something to say about every little thing today. I don't know what's in me.
I know.
So don't speed the weed. Lala's like, yeah, I'm about plan B. And Sheena's like, yeah, I said that with you guys because, like, remember when you guys said you got a prenup? And I was like, oh my God, that's gross. You should get married someone that you love and that you trust.
Yeah. Yeah, so they basically are like, cool, prenups. So then we go over to Schwartz and Sandy's, where the Toms are there. They're with Greg, and they're also with this lady, Lucinda. I love Lucinda because she just hates working with the Toms. You can just see it all over her face. She sees how much money that she's about to lose. She knows it, but she's on camera. She can't say anything about it, so she just grits her teeth, and she's just, ooh, she is not a happy camper.
Well, these guys just suck. I mean, I didn't realize it had been a whole year they've been planning this and nothing is done. Like, wow. So Schwartz is like, well, hey, we brought Contractor Dan. I know nobody can hear me, but hopefully my energy will come through. Contractor Dan, take it away. Hi, I'm Contractor Dan. You could hear me?
Yeah, why are you holding that candelabra? It's like, oh, I thought I was giving it a floating effect, like it was.
Let me just show you what I want to do behind the bar. Ow! Yeah, you still can't walk through wood, bro. Sorry.
I was trying to be a friendly ghost. So, Sandoval is like, okay, dude, so this is what we want to do. We're looking at doing a fiber optic starry night in the middle of the archways. And yeah, and it's going to be amazing. Every night a sacrificial goat will hang from an archway, but there'll be stars on it. Okay. But also lasers out of the goat. And when you kill the goat, confetti comes out. It's like a piñata, but a real goat.
So. Not just basically going to be Katie's picture. So Sandoval is asking if they can get electrical in the middle of the restaurant. And Greg's like, you want lighting coming out of the ground? But it's tiled in here. And Dan's like, oh, we can break through that. He's like, we have to find this tile again. Okay, we're sitting on a cement slab here. Just get rid of the cement. Get rid of Dan. Okay, Dan is used to working. He was working at Tom Tom because he's used to working with people with a lot of money to do shit.
And then Sandoval's like, so if we could get the bar done and the bathrooms done in like a month, that would really help out. It's like, oh. So you're just going to bar a bar and a bathroom. And so then Greg is like, well, it's going to be about like 3 to 4 months. And Lucinda's like, we need it faster than that. Okay, we need it like yesterday. So this is all a disaster.
It is. Basically what they need to do in here, the stone walls are gorgeous.
It's all like the best thing cute in there.
It's gorgeous. Like, keep the stone walls. They're going to need to recover the booths and paint them. Because they, you know, it's Mexican, but they have that, the restaurant is Mexican, but they have that kind of Vanderpump flair to them, you know, like the ornate wood on the booths. Just recover them in some velvet or something. Paint the walls and redo all the backsplash.
Well, it looks done. Like, you're done. I mean, it looks like they like dug up the booths or something like that, which I felt like is a mistake. I don't know. But Schwartz of all people says, yeah, I don't think that Sandoval experiences time deadlines and pressure like other human beings do. I'm like, now, Schwartz, I know that's not you talking. Okay. Deadlines and pressure. Okay. That's, I do not want to hear that from Schwartz, even though he may be correct. Right.
Because Schwartz has been working so hard on everything. So this, I would love to just go in there and do something. Wouldn't you? Don't you have like anything. A home gardens TV, an HGTV thing kicking in at this point where it's like, we could do this.
Literally.
Get me some houndstooth marble backsplash on all the walls that aren't stone. Hang some ornate, beautiful things and get like a, you know, paint everything else white.
I just don't understand the vision of putting like an archway through this space, like to separate out the booths. Is that almost like, you know, what's the Mexican place on Sunset? El Compadre. You know, like the booths in there sort of have like, they're, I guess that's sort of archways. They're not, but they're like kind of like, they've got, you, have you been, you've been there, right? El Compadre?
Yeah, of course.
You know, like the booths in that restaurant, they sort of are, they're not just booths. They seem, unless I'm remembering it incorrectly, they kind of seem like they're in like a, like there's like a structure that the booths are in, it feels like. Maybe that's what he's going for.
But no, he's saying he wants to lower the ceiling in the front door so it looks like you're coming into this little restaurant from the outside.
And then it explodes,
but then you walk through and it's this huge.
But like place, that's what happens basically. Anyway when you walk through the door. The door is its own archway.
Right.
Right.
But it's Tom. Yeah. And right now Tom is obsessed with one thing. Lights,
you know what,
like neon lights. He wants some little starry night lights, like it's fucking Las Vegas. Like he just wants his lights.
Do you remember Geisha House?
Yes,
that's what he wants. And Geisha House, as anyone remembers from watching The Hills, you walked down this like hallway with low ceiling, and it was sort of like dark. And then you turn a corner, and it's like boom, huge open ceiling. That's what he wants.
Yeah, so Schwartz is like, wow, bro, I can't wait till this is finally done. And we're like, bro, I did it.
Yeah, I don't know what, it's still unclear what Schwartz is actually doing, what he did do. But anyway, so they're just like, yeah, they just want to like move. They're just excited for it to be done. And Sandoval's like, dude, wait till we make a good $10,000 to $20,000 mistake, huh? And he's like, no, man, don't say
like
that.
Like James's engagement party.
Yeah.
So then James, Raquel, and Kate. So they're getting together again. Kate's like, oh, Jesus, here we go again. She comes in just ready, you know, ready to be just horrified. So Raquel's like, yeah, my sister's coming over to finalize things and we're going to call the florist together. And he's like, I can't believe you wanted to spend only $150 on flowers, Raquel. God. She's like, I don't know how much flowers cost. I mean, they grow out of the ground.
It's a lot of feet photos you have to sell, okay? So they're just talking about how there's going to be like a sip and paint class before the big engagement party and stuff. Kate comes over and they start showing Kate like this seating plan for the big party and everything. And so they're talking about how they're going to be going to Schwartz and Sandy's later for this like progress party that they want to have. And they're just like talking about everything about how there's going to be that they want to have a sip and paint class, but maybe they'll smoke some weed. Maybe it'll be a puff and paint. At which point Kate starts nodding like, weren't you quitting smoking?
Right, because James announced earlier that he was going to quit smoking on his 2-day sober anniversary.
For like five episodes.
His 2-day sober.
Five episodes.
Yes, for his 2-year sober anniversary, which I guess is not happening. So he's like, yeah, maybe puff and smoke some weed. And Raquel's like, yeah, James was supposed to give up weed. So, and he's like, oh, yeah, well, yesterday was my day to like start that. But then someone at Sir got COVID and I had quarantine. And it's like, not much else to do other than smoke some weed.
Kate's like, don't love that. Now listen, whether he wants us to quit weed or not, like that's up to him. Like I don't give a shit if he's gonna quit it or not. But if the reason why you don't quit is because you had a day off and didn't know what to do with yourself, like I would also maybe think about that too.
You know, what I'm noticing in this is we all see the unhealthy James stuff, right? Like, James is just a mess of a fucking person. Like, his stuff is really obvious, but there's some stuff with Raquel, too. Like, Raquel does this thing where she tattles to everybody on James so that they'll tell him off, yeah. You know? Because she's the one who brought up, she's like, well, we're going to do like a sip and see, or maybe a puff and see, because James didn't quit smoking weed. It's like, why are you dating someone that you constantly have to go to everybody else to tell that person off? It's yeah. like a weird, it's like kind of a weird thing that she has with James, where she relies on the outside world to kind of regulate what's going on. Just get rid of him, girl. Kick into the curb, girl.
It's nice to know that that is ultimately what happens with them, that she does get rid of him. Yeah, because so he says, well, you know, if you've got to stay home all freaking day and quarantining, right? I mean, I make music, okay? Like, I'm a DJ. I'm going to hit the studio, smoke some weed, and make bangers all day long.
Yeah, and Raquel's like, well, I'm just glad you've got 2 years without drinking, baby. And Kate's like, oh, yeah, I saw that. Great. Good for you. That's great. And he goes, yeah, but I did it for us. Right. You know that, Raquel. I did it for us. Well, and me too. But us, Raquel. Okay, so now Raquel owes you something because mm-hmm. you fucking quit being a drunk.
Yeah.
I can't.
So now Sandoval and Ariana are like headed to the store and they're driving along and Brock calls on the phone in the car. And he's like, what's going on? Hey, I have an idea and I wanted to run it by you guys first. So already, I don't know about you, Ronnie, but I was like, this is not going to be good. He's asking for money or something terrible. He goes, well, what I'm thinking of doing is just keeping it between me and Sheena. Okay, I've got the ring already. You know, I mean, I'll have to pick it up regardless and see. I'm going to ask her to marry me and just keep it between me and her at home. You know, that's what I was thinking. And the prediction will be a yes. And then what I'd like to do is when we go to James and Raquel's place up north, I want to step away for one day and just be the four of us, just Tom and Ariana's a witness. And, you know, you, Dom, you're ordained and then you're going to marry me and Sheena. And it's going to be a secret. Nothing could go wrong.
Oh, my God. What? No.
Why?
I can't believe Tom. I mean, Ariana did say, like, I wouldn't like it to be like, wow, we're at an engagement party. And then they're like, that's a dick move, you know? Yeah, it's a dick move. Because, first of all, Sheena doesn't keep anything quiet.
She does not.
Sheena's going to come in with a gigantic fucking ring on her finger going, oh, my God. Posing with her hand in front of her face. You know, like, look at me. I'm doing thinking pose. Oh, you saw my ring? Like, this Sheena is going to totally use this as her fucking wedding party.
She'll post it on Instagram. She'll post it on Instagram, God. And then they'll see it. She's like, what? I didn't tell anyone. I just, you know, I posted that. Something private was something important for me. I'm not going to not celebrate something that was important to me. I wasn't going to tell you guys. I wasn't going to take any time away. Like, it was up to you guys to sign to come to my profile to look at it. That's what it's going to be.
I didn't steal your engagement party during the engagement party. I stole it after the engagement party.
And then it'll turn into, well, you guys already had an engagement party. So you guys are doing it a second time. And that's, like, really excessive. Like, it's ridiculous.
And they're also fucking paying for it the second time, you little a-hole. So I'm mad at the imaginary Sheena.
I know our theoretical path. Theoretical storyline.
So Tom and Ariana know this is a bad idea, but they don't just say, no, you can't do that. That's somebody else's thing. You cannot do that. They need to say that. Like, someone needs to tell fucking Brock. No. Yes. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And when Ariana says, like, well, I feel bad because I just, you know, I told Brock, don't give up because it's like, just because your first plan fell through and like, we'll help you out. I just don't think it was going to be at James Raquel's engagement party. It's like, you can still say no, Brock. This is a terrible, terrible idea.
Yeah, this is bad. So,
it's my time to shine. It's my time to shine. It's my time to shine.
So now we're with Katie and Ariana at Villa Rosa. So I just made some casual sangria.
Yes, she made, LVP made sangria. And so they go out to the garden and Katie's talking about how, like, they, you know, about a meeting that they had, about what they're going to do for their vision for the sandwich shop is they just want it. Like, Katie just wants it to be European and feminine and the Tom Toms will not be involved.
Right, and Ariana's like, yeah, I mean, Jay-Z wasn't a partner on Lemonade. I mean, not like I'm Beyonce, but, you know. it is the Tom and Ariana show, and I run that shit. So then they talk about this progress party that's coming up, and Vanderpump is like, well, I want to come, but, you know, people will have opinions, and Sandoval doesn't want opinions, darling. Are you coming to me for an investment? And they're like, no, we're going to go to Randall. And she's like, oh, Randall, that sounds like a great idea. All right, pitch it to me. Well, and hey, let me give you a hint. It needs to start with double fried chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, Lisa goes, you know, I'm a nasty ass bitch boss, but you know that already. Aren't I so young and current, nasty ass bitch boss, bitch lady, bitch, boss, bitch, boss, bitch.
And Katie's like, well, we haven't really worked on our pitch yet. Really, all I've done is print out a picture of Rand's face and then, like, colored it. So we're working on it.
Actually, wait, here's a business plan that I mocked up. This is a butterfly. Yeah. Oh, dear.
What?
Like a coloring book? Like she colored her butterfly? I guess I should have added more context to my own stupid joke.
I was really thinking about it, and I got lost. I was like, wow, now there's butterflies. She has everything.
I was like, I'm not going to save it either. I was like, I'm going to just die on the vine there until Ronnie moves on. You were like, I was in the world.
So Ariana's like, no, look, we know what we want already, and Randall wants to be involved, so it's gonna be fine. She goes, oh my god, give me the pitch, and come on, it's Randall. Katie, come on, because Katie's like, well, what we want is for this space. Come on, this is for Randall. More energy. I should have bits of fried chicken covering my face already from the excited chew spittle as you exclaim your love for this new venture.
Here's some pickleball rackets. Hold them in your hand while you pitch.
Sangria is for closers.
Always be pickleballing. Always be pickleballing.
So they both at the same time go, unapologetically feminine.
Which is what I always think of when I think of Randall Emmett and his oeuvre of work.
Oh, good.
They want to name the sandwich shop something about her. Lisa's like, oh, okay. Which is...
That's so a Katie name. I can't. Okay.
I mean, like, my first instinct is to say, I don't know if I love it, but there is actually a very popular place here called Met Her at a Bar. So, you know, I know it could work, but, like, you know, it's fine. It gets it done, I guess.
I was opening my little eye patch things today and noticed that they're called Once Upon a Tea, because it's it's that tea, green tea or whatever. So I was thinking of Katie, and this is such a Katie name. So Vanderpump's like, okay, I love the unapologetically feminine part, though. I'm seeing flowers, I'm seeing chandeliers, I'm seeing miniature donkeys and a little old man in a Rod Stewart wig buzzing around, bumping into walls on battery power, darling.
Something about her. Yes, it does work. It does. Now let's change the name to Pump Sandwiches. Great. Done.
How about Pump Witch?
Okay. Now I've brought in Pandy. She likes a sandwich and she can consult with you on your sandwich menu. Okay. Change everything. Do Pandy sandwiches. Roast salmon on a baguette.
I think that everybody should get a free pashmina every time they come to eat, Mother.
Oh, you're brilliant. Brilliant, Pandy.
I think there should be a beurre blanc with capers and dill on every sandwich.
Pandy, you're a genius!
So then Vanderpump's like, wow, you guys are really serious about this, huh? And Katie's like, I just, like, want a purpose. Because I'm not going to just sit around and be a wife. I want to wake up in the morning and know I have somewhere to go. And something to do. Get a fucking job. I mean, do I need to send you a LinkedIn invite link? I mean, for Christ's sake.
That's why I want to go where everybody knows your name. That's why I was like, okay, Katie, stop doing cheers.
You know, it's just like, you take the good, you take the bad, But then if you take them both, then you have the facts of life. Am I right?
Now, one thing that I've learned through this process is that the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some.
I mean, we're moving on up to the east side.
All right, now you need to stop now, Casey. Streets on the China. That's the Jeffersons.
Streets on the China. Never met it before. No one cared. When you walk through the door and you dropkick your jacket, no one cared.
Slumiel. Slumazo. All right, darling. Finish your sangria and get out of my house.
This is it. This is it. This is life, the one you got, the one you're living for. This is it. Okay, no more one day at a time. Okay, get the picture.
So let's go over to the Kyle Chan store. My goodness, that guy, someone's at this store at least once a year on this show.
Yeah, the amount of diamonds that this cast buys from Kyle Chan.
Yeah.
It's out of control.
Buys. I mean, so Kyle Chan is there, obviously. Kyle Chan is there. That's what I wrote down.
Oh my God, it's Kyle Chan!
The Kyle Chan.
I can't believe it's him! The long lost son of Carol Channing. So Sandoval and Brock show up for our annual Kyle Chan scene. And Brock is like, cheers to new businesses! Because they're doing shots. And it basically is like, Brock goes, so you have that ring? And Kyle goes, which ring? Ha ha ha, you just got channed. Okay, give me one second.
So Brock is telling us that they've gotten married before, so it would be great to do this with just a few friends, you know? And I've seen pictures of the venue, and Shayna will have the best memory getting married there. Oh my God, you did not pick this venue. You did not book this venue. Get out of here. I'm not going to get less enraged.
It's so tacky. It's just so, so cheap and tacky. I can't stand it. And like, you're talking about how you're basically mooching off of someone else's venue that they paid for while you are using 5 credit cards to buy this ring. I'm just like, what is going on here? So
this ring is 10 grand, not 25, right?
Oh, I thought it was 25 grand.
Oh.
Well, he said he put that might make sense because it was like four. He put like four on like, no, but he put four on 3 cards and then something, I don't know.
And one was 2,000 and right, another was 10.
Either way, it was
three, yeah, I think it was 10.
3 cards worth. And he's like, hey, well, my credit in America isn't that good yet. And that's not even talking about my actual credit cards. Talk about my human cred.
Capital none, am I right? So Brock's like, you know, between this and child support, bro, I'm broke for the next 10 months.
I was like, oh, great. Sheena's going to love that.
Yeah, and like, your kids thanks will love for my that wedding. Too.
Thanks for my wedding. We're eating a baby's weighted blanket tonight.
Sleep sack. So now we have Schwartz and Katie at home doing masks. Everyone's getting ready for the progress party at Schwartz and Sandy's. And Brock, poor Brock, he's on the laptop and he's like, how do you spell Schwartz and Sandy's? I'm just trying to find the bar. I'm like, it's not open or listed anywhere yet, Brock.
And James is like, it looks like this is in a strip mall. Who are you to judge?
I know.
You know half the places your ass DJs are in a strip mall. And Sheena's like, well, don't worry. We'll find it. It's in Hollywood. I used to live in Franklin. And when I lived there, it was called Hollywood.
Yeah, I love James being so snobby about a bar being in a strip mall when he's the one, you know, playing mid-tempo beats at a restaurant that serves like roasted salmon and and like gnocchi, and he's acting like he's at Coachella,
right? So then we go to this party thing, the restaurant, and Sandoval's hating the plastic cups. He's like, really don't like those, bro. Really don't like them. All right. I need something classy to drink out of while people are standing next to a drill. I mean, what the hell don't you understand?
So then Schwartz is like, by the way, dude, I know we took a little break, but me and Katie have been getting along really great, and you and Katie have been getting along great, and everything's going along great, and I think it's time to come off the break. So they decide after 2 days of not hanging out that they're going to hang out again. And and just because it wouldn't be a Schwartz and Sandy scene without some props, there's friendship bracelets that Katie made for them.
The Katie made. Like, you can't even make your own friendship bracelet.
I know.
It's string. It's string. So Katie and Ariana come, and Ariana's like, wow, this is just like so done. Because nothing is done. It's just a huge mess, which maybe Sandoval wanted to be like, wow, look, the worse we make it, the better the after picture will look.
Yeah. She's like, I just really thought I'd be able to sit down. This is definitely not unflinchingly feminine. What was it again? Uncompromisingly feminine.
I'm a girl, so you can go fuck yourself. The sandwich shop.
Ariana goes, cheers to this, whatever this is, my money going down the drain.
And Schwartz is like, oh, I made a drink. You guys should try the drink. You guys can name it if you want. And Katie's like, I'm not naming shit. Okay.
Another night of testing out drinks. So then James and Raquel arrive. He's like, oh, look how tall it is. Look how high the ceiling is. And then Brock and Sheena. And Sheena's like, Viva la Mexico. Do you have a sleep sack? I could use the sleep sack.
You're serving my enchiladas here, right? My Sheena's famous enchiladas. Right? Right?
So they all do drink. They all drink a little. And Ken and Lisa come. And, you know, Lisa's feeling especially high and mighty because she's wearing one of her Queen headbands,
yeah,
like the Queen of England headbands. So they come in, you hear the Ken Roomba noise. She's like, well, clearly it's not open. There's nowhere for me to check my Roomba.
I mean, the point of a progress party is to see progress, and as far as I can see, I see Ken, help me out here. Regress. Ooh, nailed it. Regress. Okay, moving forward.
I'm seeing Mexican flags and piñatas, darling. I mean, come on, you didn't see handcuffs and dildos at Tom Tom's progress party, did you?
Well, they're in my handbag. Naughty, I'm so naughty, bad bitch, bitch boss, naughty, nasty bitch boss.
So Sandoval does a little speech welcoming everybody to the before picture, and Schwartz made a sign. This is Schwartz and Sandy's, but it's like really chintzy and cheap. And he's like, guys, it's not the sign. Don't worry. That's still something you paid a good $1,000 for.
Open your restaurant. You spent money on that. You spent money. Yeah. Open the restaurant. So, and Raquel's like, I kind of had higher expectations for this sign. It's very minimal effort here. Maybe they could use a mood board.
And they played, they were playing classical music while Raquel spoke. So funny. So then he gives a tour and he's like,
all right, here's what, you know, we like when you see it from the outside. It's like unassuming, but then you come in and there's like a lowered ceiling and then boom, there's going to be a huge archway with lights in the center of the room.
And Vanderpump is just like, darling, I think I would maximize the space. She's whispering to Ken.
Yeah,
and Ken's just like, I'm lost without a dog in my hand. Where am I? Who brought me here?
They are so disgusted. They are like, oh my God, this is a disaster. Like, we're just watching a full-on disaster. And it just cuts to them just like basically rolling their eyes to each other. And then Sandoval being, so there's going to be archways in the middle here with six-person booths. Be six archways, but with four booths. But the booths hold six people. But there's also going to be three hoops for aerialists, okay? So Lisa's like, so the archways are going all the way to the top. And how much does that cost? And he goes, well, I don't have the exact dollar right now, but probably about $15 is what I'm expecting.
Oh my God, that's more expensive than flowers.
Raquel!
So, Ken's like, well, it sounds expensive. You don't have a budget for all this? Boom. Boom.
Oh, someone rotate Kenny is knocking into the sideways boops.
I just got a notification on my phone. Your Roomba has gotten stuck on a tile grout.
Darling.
So Sandoval's acting like, oh, well, Lisa, you know, I appreciate her concern, but like, this is our business and none of hers. But she's just like, she and Ken, I mean, listen, do I find their restaurants to be kind of tacky looking? Yes, but do I have faith that they sort of know what they're doing in this space? I also do have faith. And when they're looking around and Lisa's like, yeah, they have like a few $100,000 worth of renovations that they're doing here. And Ken is like, what you said, and I'm like, what I co-sign with, which is, he's like, well, I wouldn't want to spend that. Maybe $500, change all the lights, change the walls, and you're good to go. Don't forget the planters on the bar, Ken.
Gigantic. I need a tree on this bar, and you'll be good, darling. Yeah, but it's already gorgeous. Like, the work is already done, people. Get a few gorgeous lights and some tile, okay?
Yeah.
So Vanderpump's like, well, it's going to be more and it's going to take longer. These are two people that don't really know what they're going to endure. And frankly, I'm a little bit worried for them.
Yeah, and so Lisa's like, she's like basically saying, like, they're over their heads, right? And he's like, Ken goes, yeah, they'll lose a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like they just know. They just see this is a disaster waiting to happen.
Yep. So Vanderpump goes over to Sheena and Brock and asks how they're doing. And Sheena's like, God, we're signing our prenup on Wednesday. Jeez. Okay. That is some prenup assault.
Yeah. And so Lisa's like, oh, you're doing a prenup. And who are you going to marry? Not this one, of course. Definitely not this one. And so basically Brock, with the prenup, she asked what Brock gets, and Brock gets to keep his motorcycle, and Sheena's like, and I get 7% of homebody. I mean, it's the number I chose because it's like my favorite number. Mm.
Well, he says that actually because he wants to make sure that she knows that he's going to give something up, but Sheena is not going to give something up. He's like, actually, she gets 7%. It's like, well, she deserves the best. So when you have some time, could you try and go find that for her, darling? And when you have, ring me back and introduce me to him first this time. All right, thank you. Thank you, Locke. You can go now.
And so and then we go to like Sheena's talking about how she was like the first investor in Homebody and everything. And he's like, yes, you know, I paid you back every time. She's like, well, yeah, but I mean, you still owe me a little bit of money. He's like, no, I do. And she's like, yeah, well, it's like, oh, he's like, okay, well, I still owe you like $3,000. She's like, no, it was more than that. It was like over 10.
And he's like, it wasn't. She goes, it was. It was over 10. And I said I wanted 7%. He's like, ooh. That's a lie. And he starts crying. And he whips out tissues and he's like, oh, I don't want to hand out from my business.
I'm not getting a handout. I'm not getting a handout. By the way, could I get a little bit more money there? That'd be great. Thanks.
Well, I'll tell you this much. You need to put your hand out and start giving hand jobs with it and earn some goddamn money. Yeah. Sir.
Yeah, he really does. So now they're all, everyone's just like drinking and everything. And Raquel's like telling the girls what the dress code is for the engagement party. And Lisa's checking in on Schwartz to see how he feels. And he's like, oh, I hate being behind on schedule. Oh, with your maturity. Yes, yes, yes. But one of these days you'll start acting your age. Don't you worry.
Have you started getting a little bit of hair on your num-nums yet, darling?
Not yet, but you know, it's hard for ghosts to really age.
Darling, I can see you.
Damn it.
Why are you carrying those chains? Oh, it's supposed to be for audio effect. You can see me?
So James and Brock pulls James aside and he's like, are you guys excited about this engagement party? And he's like, oh yes, the villa's amazing. It's amazing. Well, is there by any chance going to be some downtime where you're not going to be, you know, using any of the tables, chairs, and rooms, scenery, castle, or anything like that?
Is there going to be a little bit of downtime where, like, perhaps the most scenic photographic vista from the place will not be occupied by any of you guys, but just wondering, just curious.
So then he tells us, I think we just celebrated their engagement, so if it's a good place to get married, why not?
You did not pay for that engagement, and you did not pay for this one. It doesn't matter how many. They could celebrate it every fucking day. It doesn't mean you get to take over one of their days.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, by the way, congratulations on being 2 years sober. And James says, well, you know what? The big news is I'm not quitting pot after all. I mean, it's just been a very stressful time for me. And so, like, with that girl getting COVID, that stupid, trashy girl getting COVID, you know, I just had to stay at home and I was in isolation. And then it's like, what could I do? Like, what's supposed to do? Read a book? Watch television? Talk to my fiance? No, I couldn't do that. That's why I couldn't stop smoking. That's why.
And he's like, bro, you know, that's all excuses. If you can just say you were stressed out and couldn't handle it, I mean, that's no big deal. You've already quit alcohol. And he's like, but
you're telling me to say something that's not the fucking truth, bro. How dare you?
And then James just fucking loses his mind. Loses it.
I mean, here's Brock saying, just like, say you were stressed, you couldn't handle it yet, right? And he's and just to prove that he wasn't stressed, he's like, that's not true. It's like, literally, you could not seem more stressed than you are at this moment.
Well, to anybody out there who deals with addiction, hi, you're talking to me. I deal with it all the time. And this is classic, to just be like, well, I couldn't because someone at work got, COVID. But I couldn't because XYZ. So Brock is actually right in this situation, and you can tell he's right because James just loses his fucking mind. And James even resorts to going, bro, that triggers me, bro. Oh god, now you're triggered. James, are you triggered, James? Seriously? He's like, it's not the truth. How could you say that? And Brock's like, bro, I'm just saying, take responsibility for your own actions.
It's like, what about your actions? What about yours?
And then here he comes. The tiny Gargamel pops out. Gargamel.
He's going crazy. By the way, I think that Brock is correct, but I also feel like, why are you bothering Brock? Like, he's on his own journey and he's clearly not ready to do this step. So, like, you know, I don't know why Brock is trying to step in and try to be this counselor right now when it's like, you know, it's like,
they're friends that go to the gym together, which we find out in this. Like, they were really close. And look, if I have a friend, if I quit whatever, it's been many things over the years, and I say, well, you know, I went to this party and I just did some coke because I was feeling tired, my friends will tell me, no, you know, fucking take responsibility, don't blame it on everything else, you know. But I don't know if they're that good of friends.
I feel like Brock went out of his way. I don't know, it didn't feel like it was that sort of relationship, right? Like, they clearly have, there's clearly an issue where Brock has been trying to sort of like coach James, and I think James has made it pretty clear he doesn't want to hear it from Brock. So the fact that I think that Brock kind of,
well, James wants everybody to be his big brother and his mentor and his coach until he wants to start using again.
Yeah,
that's how it's always been on this show, you know. Now, whether it's Brock's business, I don't know, but this reaction was too much.
Way over the top. Either way,
like, James is screaming and yelling and having a fit and screaming, I don't want you in my business every 5 minutes. And he's like, bro, you need to learn how to talk to people. And he's like, oh, and you know how to talk to people. Do, 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 do.
He like knocks his head. He's like, and he goes, like, we're fucking dictionary, as if he's like, you know, just recently matriculated at Oxford. So then Brock is like, he's like, you know what, you're right, you know what, my education is poor, I'm a little straight wench, what can I say? And he's like, well, a lot of dumb shit you say is poor in front of people too, you say a lot of dumb shit. And she's like, James, don't start saying something that you can't take back, like, for instance, that my enchiladas are overrated, Charlie. So James like, well, he always thought it.
And then Brock is like, I just said something because I care. And he's like, well, stop saying you care. I haven't even received a text from you since we've been fucking working out at fucking Equinox together. And then you've just been bye-bye. You've been adios, amigo. You don't even hang out anymore. You've been busy. It's like, well, James, you were a fucking asshole to him. And now you're going to try and use that against him so you can get out of talking about being a fucking addict. You know, it's like, and you shouldn't have to. I mean, I agree with you on that point, that like, he shouldn't have to come here and justify his addiction or whatever to everybody, but it was really stupid of him to go around telling everybody, I'm doing it on this day, 2 years sober, this day, telling TV, telling everybody, non-stop, and then being like, I can't because a girl at work got COVID.
I can't because I had to stay home for the day. It's like, well, you know, there's gonna be many days in your life where you're gonna have to stay home and do nothing, right? So, and I'm not saying that from a judgy terrible thing. I'm not saying it from a judgy way. I'm just saying it like you like, this is a like really a flimsy excuse that you're going with here. So but by the way, I love that this is also kind of boiling down to the fact that James can't work out with Brock at Equinox. And also, by the way, Brock, what is Brock doing working out at Equinox? Now, I know there's one in his building, I get that. Equinox is what, $350 a month or something? I mean, it just everything. I don't understand it. Maybe they get a building discount. Who knows? I'm just really
Somebody is paying for that Equinox membership. That's not Brock. And if I was the ex who needs child support and I saw that he was going to Equinox, I'd be sending letters.
Or living in that building, by the way. That building that's a nice apartment building. Okay. Those are nice apartments. That's a luxury apartment building. So, either way, so James is upset that he doesn't have his Equinox partner. And so then,
Basically saying, you're my friend, and then you ditched me because I wouldn't do your shit for free, is what James is saying to him. And he's like, well, your text was really rude to me, which was really rude.
I think Brock is actually correct in this, to be honest. He's like, after that text message, bro, and I asked you to do it, and it came with all that fucking that was it. And I think actually Brock is right. Like, Brock may have been making an ask, but if you're really friends, I don't think you have like such an obnoxious response, right? Or maybe you talk about it, or maybe you do it this one time, but then afterwards say like, listen, I kind of feel like I'm being taken advantage of. But like, instead, James was really an asshole about it. And Brock was like, oh, fuck this guy. So,
oh, God. And then when James was telling Raquel, oh, I just told you, you know, we'll talk about it later. Well, we saw the text in last week's episode. They showed the actual text from James. He's such a prick. He's like, listen, it would be great if you didn't get back to him about this. I think it would behoove you to let me know about opportunities like this before you. Well, fuck you. Fuck you. And that's last week. That's where all the controlling stuff came from. It's like, he's telling her how she can do this, how she can have her bachelorette party. And then he minimized it into penis straws and had a big fit about it to like get the attention off of all of us. He's a fucking the show. I mean, especially when it comes to the men, is just
right.
How do you even pick?
And James just has such a high, he just has like this view of himself that's so much more elevated than it is. He goes, I'm literally out here gonna fucking DJ your fucking event and all this bullshit, and you still aren't grateful for any of it, bro. Not any of it. And he's like, well, don't do the show. Don't do the DJ. He's like, well, so now you don't want it. Okay, cheers, man. Enjoy your whiskey. Now you don't want it. So James is at first lording it over him, and then he's like, well, fuck it, go away. And now James is like, oh, okay, well, I'm not good enough now. It's like, oh my God. James
is deranged. He's a master. He's got a lot in common, I think, with Lala. They both do this whenever they're cornered, right? Mm-hmm. They both freak out and lose it and start blaming the other person. And they're always the victim. No matter what has happened, they're the victim of everything. It's like so James then goes to the group. Sorry, say it again.
It's like borderline. I'm not a psychologist, so I can't diagnose. But it reminds me of what I've heard about borderline personality disorder.
I don't know enough about it, but fuck that guy. You know, it's always he's always a fucking victim.
If you're coming to watch our Crappens for accurate psychological diagnoses, you have to adjust your expectations, because I'll just throw out something.
So James goes up to the group and Ariana's like, what is happening over there? He's like, I didn't say anything. Oh, really?
You literally exploded on him when he said, like, you know, like you your response was so above and beyond crazy when it came to whatever.
So Sheena's like, well, you called him dumb and he called me rude. Me, rude. He's like, but you are rude and he is dumb. Can we just have some enchiladas?
You know, Brock wants to throw the friendship card down, like, oh, I'm just looking up for you, bro, but where have you been? Okay, not Equinox, that's for sure. And if you don't want to work on our friendship and you want to leave it in the dust because you have a salty taste about how I texted you back, I'm fucking over this. I'm moving over. Okay, I'm going to Equinox by my own. How about that?
It's not a problem that you sent a shitty text. It's how he's reacting to it. I mean, it's just classic. So he leaves and Ariana picks up his water bottle and she's like, oh my God, this is James's water bottle. This is what he was doing to it the entire time they were talking. And it's just all crumbled up and misshapen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, James is, God, I, in some ways I feel bad for him because like it probably must be crushing to know that you've done some, like a lot of the hard work of quitting alcohol but then also knowing that hasn't really fixed the fundamental issues. And that's a hard, tough pill to swallow.
Yeah. It's like whenever I lose weight and I'm like, wow, I'm still tired and I'm still depressed. This sucks. What's the point?
Yeah. Well, on that note, everyone, thanks for listening. We're back tomorrow with Real Housewives of Orange County. And then on Friday, we are going to do a shop-by-shop breakdown of the Summer House.
Summer House. The Summer House trailer.
So So excited for that. Anyway, thanks everyone for listening. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com to get tickets to our live shows and to find links to our Patreon, where you can find all that good stuff. We will catch you on the next episode.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Regal.
Erica 500 Days of Summers. The incredible edible Matthew Sisters. Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper. Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No One Makes Us Feel Well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.